It's Bathrob Spears Broadsides, November 25th, 1995. A somewhat imperfect copy because our machine isn't working, but we hope you get some of it here.
And maybe from it all I can stand a little prouder. If you can hear me, I'll sing a little louder.
And that is Phil Free from his album No Frills or Excess Packaging. Good song, bunch of good songs by Phil. Wish I could read what the name of it was, but maybe he'll call in and give us some more information on that. Plus some more information on the ongoing harassment of musicians on the Pacific Mall. I've been picking up some interesting stories on that. Phil isn't the only one, apparently, that they're going after. I was at the Vets Hall yesterday, where there was a large Thanksgiving meal. Traditionally happens every year there. Actually, estimates the number of homeless people in Santa Cruz made by SOS activist Rolling Thunder Mike, who went to all three meals, range 700. I actually put it at higher, 500 to 1500. It's always been my estimate of the number of people in the Santa Cruz city area. I'm not even talking about the county, which is two or three times that amount. Anyway, there was a report from the Vets Hall, which I hope to play you, about harassment of a man who's essentially was drumming on the mall at Cathcart Pacific, and the kind of don't play your music here attitude towards certain people that has developed, perhaps in concert with what I call the Christmas crackdown, which is the desire of the police and merchants to remove people they consider to be unprofitable or eyesores or a discomfort to middle-class eyes and hearts from the mall between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, it's particularly interesting when this happened back in 1988. At that time, as some of you real old-timers may remember, there was a lot of troll-busting going on, as we call that's the word for vicious attacks on people just because they're homeless, and they were called trolls by certain young people in the mid-80s, and actually that a Trollbuster t-shirt was issued at around the time that the Ghostbusters movie came out. Sort of an okay, open season on poor people, open season on street people, open season on homeless people. I believe it was the son of one of the merchants downtown who was doing that. And this was around the time the police department was found guilty of essentially having six guys who were beating the shit out of homeless people at night when they were off duty. Actually, they weren't convicted, but there was enough evidence to get them all fired. And some of that pattern continues even today, where there's violence against poor people, violence against homeless people, and where the rhetoric of people like a woman named Janelle on Community Perspectives, Channel 71, attacks the open-air shelter as a urine field, that kind of commentary, shows just exactly who she wants to piss on and who she wants to encourage everyone else to piss on. It seems that Christmas may also be a season, and Thanksgiving may be a season, where people start feeling a kind of conditioned compassion toward people. It's also a time when the bigots come out of the woodwork. The bigots start raising their voices and ranting about displacing 200 people who have no shelter, who have been making an incredibly well-rounded and compacted effort to get to kind of nudge and shoehorn themselves all into the space out there at the open-air shelter. Because there is no other legal place for people to be, and there are plenty of other places where people have to be, because that shelter cannot in any way take care of even a majority, even a significant minority of all the people in Santa Cruz. I mean, it doesn't cover it. But it covers some, it helps some, and the idea that this should be dispersed for the winter, even when the campers themselves want to maintain that winter shelter, and then completely eliminated next spring by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, the people who own the property, and replaced with a blacktop $1.3 million trailer project, is a bad thing. A bad thing, folks. If you have ideas on this or anything else, and you want to call in and talk about it, the number here, as I mentioned before, is 427-3772, 427 Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Bathrob Spears Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor, twice weekly, Mondays and Fridays, 10 through 12. So I did promise you a little historical perspective, and I'm going to do that. The situation in 1988 was building to a crisis. In the summer of that year, Jane Yokoyama, not then on the city council, as she has been for nearly, half a decade now, almost a decade, was the head of a civil rights task force, or human rights task force, which had actually decided to come to city council with a proposal to decriminalize sleeping in vans, at least to the extent that people would be warned before they were ticketed. It was a very small concession. It only affected people in vans. And 3 months later, after Jane Yokoyama, or Jane Hoki Mama, as I call her, was elected to the city council, and then became mayor, by the way, so as all these people do, they rotate the mayorship here, she declared that camping was no solution for homeless people, and therefore she supported arresting them because it was a disgrace and an indignity that they should sleep outside without shelter. So in a way, she's trying to give you more dignity, folks, by making sure you end up in jail. And that's been her position for the last 8 years. Jane Yokoyama, want to talk to her about it? Give her a call, 425-3550. That's her city council number and the city council 24-hour message line. You can leave a message there and explain how you feel about that particular stance that Jane has taken. 429-3550. 429-3550. City Council and Jane Yokoyama. Anyway, here's a little something that happened back in 1988. It's a radio station, KZSC, I believe it was, and a group station. The name of the show was Earthbeat. And Earthbeat, which a census kind of been discontinued, I believe, or maybe they still have it with different hosts, was concerned with the issue of homeless rights, concerned with the kind of demonstrations, because there were literally dozens of homeless people coming to city council in that year, in 1988, from the summer through December, every 2 weeks. The Coalition to End the Camping Ban would bring, 20 or 30 people that would have a meal in front of city council like we had last week ago Tuesday when city council met. We had a meal then. And homeless people would speak one after another, and telling them that the council members, that there needed to be a legal place for people to be, and the council members would smile at them. Mike Rotkin was on the council then, and as he is now, and essentially they would tell them quietly to go fuck themselves, although they wouldn't put it that way. They would talk about all the wonderful social services that Santa Cruz had, and at that time there were, I believe, 2 homeless beds in the River Street shelter, no free meal, and there was a very, very scaled down interface satellite shelter program where people would stand hours in the rain near the UPS packing yard, waiting for spots and often not getting them in the small number of churches that was participating in the shelter program. But they were giving the same line that they're giving now, that Santa Cruz does all it can, that it's really a pity. Why don't these protesters go to Capitola? Why don't they go to Scotts Valley? Why are they bothering us? Santa Cruz is full of liberals. Look at us. We're liberals. We got the student vote. We have a majority, and indeed, the so-called progressives have had a majority on city council since the early 80s. Well, here you hear some spokespeople among the homeless from that time, including Rocky Stone, Jane Immler, myself. Might give you a chance to compare, because there are people today who are saying, trust the merchants, trust the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Just trust them, they really have the best intentions, they'll all get together and help us out. Now, frankly, I'm skeptical of that. I don't mean to say that might not happen, and indeed, on Monday, and this is going to be, really, I should perhaps begin with this update, on Monday of this week, I, as a member of HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, an organization concerned with civil rights for the poor, the campers organization, Save Our Shelter, represented by Rolling Thunder Mike, Ankle Deep Ann Curry, a fellow named Bill Stix, and some other folks, gathered at the Duck Pond in San Lorenzo Park with a council members Scott Kennedy, Catherine Byers, and Community House Director Daryl Darling. Community House, as some of you may know, is the so-called trailer project, the Trailers Not Trolls, or I should say, Trailers Not Trolls project that Daryl Darling and the Citizens Committee has slated to replace 200 people to sweep away the open-air shelter in March and put in its place a $1.3 million trailer project for 48 people. Anyway, these folks all met at the Duck Pond, and for the first time, and I was quite impressed with this, I'm going to play you some bits of tape from this later in the hour, or in the two-hour period we have. You'll hear Daryl, for the first time, suggesting that indeed first there could possibly be a winter campground if staffing and money were found, and that kind of fundraising effort is beginning to happen on the streets today, or actually it's been happening for the last week, and some money is coming in, and donations of tarps are coming in to the SOS Save Our Shelter folks. And I'm going to give you, all of you who are listening who are interested in this, an address and a phone number to call to give further donations to SOS, who are really desperately need this. These are people who are setting up shelter for the winter. They're going to be 30 to 50 tents or so, they estimate, once the weather goes bad, they say. If the weather doesn't go bad, that's going to be a whole different kettle of fish, and we'll have to talk about that in the next show. They need you to help them with things like pallets, tents, tarps, Coleman stoves, Coleman lamps, flashlights, batteries, rope, candles, propane tanks, gloves, winter coats, sweaters, flannel shirts, long johns, scarves, hats, socks, outdoor shoes, raincoats, rain boots, rain jackets, rubber boots, umbrellas, blankets, sleeping bags. All you have to do, if you have these things and any old, some old stuff around the house you think meets this description, give a call to a Barbara Riverwoman, or Brimstone Barbara, as I call her, at 425-5939, and she'll help arrange for a pickup. Again, any kind of winter gear that you can get to the Save Our Shelter Committee, the Save Our Shelter group out at the campground, give a call to Barbara Riverwoman at 425-5939. You can also deliver these items to Mike Bustos, who's the client services manager at the Homeless Community Resource Center down at 115 Coral Street at Highway 1 and Highway 9, or you can leave them with Squirrel. Squirrel is a resident of the OAS, the Open Air Shelter, and SOS, Save Our Shelter, that will be putting these things in the right place and getting them to a distribution point for people who will be staying for the winter. So these things are needed. Pallets, tents, tarps, Coleman stoves, lamps, flashlights, batteries, rope, candles, propane tanks, gloves, winter coats, sweaters, flannel shirts, long johns, scarves, hats, socks, outdoor shoes, raincoats, rain boots, rain jackets, rubber boots, umbrellas, blankets, and sleeping bags. Again, 425-5939, Barbara Riverwoman. That is what was necessary to make this thing work this winter, to have sufficient protective gear. And believe me, it's much cheaper than jail, it's much cheaper than shelters. It has more dignity, more community, more self-sufficiency, and more possibility of people rejoining the mainstream, or at least getting some kind of meaningful work if they can be in a campground instead of having to carry everything around on their back, pack things up, and shovel themselves into the armory early in the evening and shovel themselves out early in the morning. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to me kind of jumping from topic to topic, sort of in a spontaneous way. All this was an introduction to a kind of the value of protest, as well as an update on what's been happening with the Save Our Shelters negotiations with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless to open a winter campground. I guess I really should begin with that. There was a meeting, as I said before, the third of its kind between City Council members, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which is a private group that owns the property on which the campers are camped, and the SOS, Save Our Shelter people, as well as other community members who are concerned about two issues. And the main issue and the most pressing issue has been keeping the campground open past December 3rd. Now, there had been and was a concern that they were going to close the campground even before December 3rd, because on November 2nd, as some of you faithful listeners may know, the authorities, in a completely stupid, senseless, and bureaucratic maneuver, that's the only way it can be described because it had no rhyme or reason, moved in and demanded everybody pick up their tents, everything they owned, and leave for the day, which meant that people would have to abandon and destroy their stuff since there was no place to store it. And I was out there doing interviews from that day. Many of those interviews were played on the air. And campers, then not yet organized into Save Our Shelter, were able to get together and simply by saying, "We're not leaving," some of them, persuade the operations manager, Ron Howard, talk to the head of the ISSP program, the Open Air Shelter people. His name is Paul Merceau, or pardonnez-moi Paul, as I call him, and get that so-called cleanup, that so-called clean-out, that dislocation stopped. Now, about a week or two ago, we got the word from Ron Howard, or Rough Winter Ron, as I sometimes call him, that this program, the relocation, the dislocation, the closing of the campground wouldn't happen until December 3rd. But there was no official word from the Citizens Committee until Daryl Darling, at this Duck Pond meeting on Monday, last Monday, said, yes, there will be no movement. People will not be forced to leave, at least until the 3rd. And then he gave people reason to believe that there was a serious chance that through negotiations they could keep people there over the winter who needed to be there, who were willing to deal with the mud and the cold and the very difficult conditions that happen in that field during the winter. It wasn't a commitment. It wasn't even a clear statement. He was kind of wavering here and there, but it was a statement of some sort, and it gave the campers' heart, they had been planning to essentially, if he had not done that, to begin protests the next day, at least to discuss protests at the Tuesday meeting at the campground that they were planning to have. But with that statement in hand, plus some statements from city council members that, well, Scott Kennedy at one point, in my recollection, has said that there was funding available to help the Citizens Committee in a winter program, and also that they were continuing to search for open-air shelter alternate spots, and they wanted a shelter emergency declared at the next council meeting. And that is something that we're going to discuss, too, encouraging every one of you listening to come to the November 28th City Council meeting next Tuesday at 3:30 to support the council's declaration of a shelter, and again, to your numbers, to show Citizens Committee and the public your concern about this issue, that 200 people not be displaced for 48. And City Council, by the way, has pretty much got a done deal with CCH that they will support CCH in that dislocation. But the CCH now seems to be saying that they're considering some other provisions. At least they're going to be allowing the area to remain open over the winter when there couldn't be construction anyway. That would have seemed to be so obvious from the first. One wonders why they didn't do it to begin with, but only did it under pressure from organized protesters, because the folks from SOS have been out on the streets with their table. They turned in, over 1,000 to 1,200 signatures to City Council. They've had an impact. It didn't happen because CCH decided to be nice. CCH, though they are, one has to say, a group of people who are concerned about the homeless and who do milk money out of those who are concerned about the homeless, they also are very conservative in some respects, and they have stuck rather narrowly to their own projects, and they're not someone you want to hand your sleeping bag and your tent to and say, take care of this for me for the winter, really. You have to take care of things yourself, and when CCH saw that people were taking care of things themselves, they may have made a change. And I say may because of the statement's vagueness, because of the uncertainty, in spite of my personal sense, Daryl Darling really does want to do something here. I am encouraging people not to foreclose their options and to retain the prospect of protest. And that's why I have called for a December 3rd support rally for the homeless here in Santa Cruz at the 1 p.m. River and Josephine Food Not Bombs meal. And I'm making that, sending out that request across the state, actually, to anybody who wants to come. I think it's not just a matter of this open-air shelter. It's a matter of the anti-homeless laws. I don't know if you read today's Santa Cruz Urinal, or the Sentinel, as they call it, but in that paper, we find that the sit near a shop, go to jail law, masterminded by Cave-In Kennedy and Robocop Rotkin, two most prominent macho liberals on the council, of the male sort, that is. This is a sit-down law that was engineered by them last September when the old sit-down law was thrown out of court by two local judges, which they had also voted for. It's been found constitutional, unfortunately, by local state judges. Now, ironically, the same kind of law was found unconstitutional up in Berkeley by a federal judge, Claudia Wilkins, and it would be nice if our attorneys here, our loving and ever-vigilant ACLU, would get off its pencil-pushing butt and get down to file for a temporary restraining order against these anti-homeless laws that the happy hosts, the green shirts downtown, hired by the merchants, are running around harassing people about. Sit near a shop, go to jail, ask for a dime after dark, go to jail. Such things as have a demonstration table up after dark, pay a fine. They're preposterous laws that have nothing to do with any real public concerns other than the paranoias of the merchants and the desire to gentrify the downtown and please a certain segment of the population. It would be nice if the ACLU, it would be nice if other attorneys would attack this the way the ACLU in the East Bay and Berkeley has successfully attacked Berkeley's Proposition O, which has now been on hold since last spring, where it is legal to sit on the sidewalk in Berkeley. And has Berkeley collapsed? Has business taken a nosedive? No, not that I hear. Anyway, December 3rd, River and Josephine, 1 o'clock. That's what I say. Show up there. And let's see what's going on. Let's see what needs to be done. Let's see what issues we do want to bring to the city council, to the merchants, to the community generally, what kind of support we want to offer people, whether it's the open-air shelter staying open for the winter, whether it's troll busting, whether it's harassment of people in different cities for serving free food. And I remind you, Arcata Food Not Bombs, that's a little town in the far north of California, is under attack, and I myself still face a 2-month jail sentence, which was upheld by the Superior Court in San Francisco. We've appealed it, and I have an interview with my attorney on that, so you can actually hear his legal arguments on my behalf, and at some point I'll be playing those, though they're kind of dry, and they don't really much relate to the really nitty-gritty issue of why arrest people for serving healthy, free food unless you, for some reason, are trying to get rid of the people who are eating it, either through a direct demolition campaign or just make sure they don't show up. I don't really think that the people who want to put us in jail for serving free food actually want to genocide the homeless, so they don't think they do anyway. But the effect of their policies is to make it much more difficult for people to live. Similarly, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, you know, wants to see people in shelter, but it's prepared to put the priorities, its bureaucratic priorities, or has been, and hopefully it's changing its mind, above the welfare of the, what, 50 to 75 people who need the winter shelter, who can't go into the armory for different reasons, because of pets, because of jobs, because of spouses, because of vet problems, indeed because of alcohol abuse and drug abuse. Hey, I know I'm going to get shafted from both sides for saying this. It's not a good image to present, but it's true. Can't go into the armory if you're drunk. I'm sorry. And is it good to have somebody freeze or fall off a bridge? No, it's better to have that person in a tent, sleeping it off. I'm sorry. That's how it is. That's the reality of it. You know, live with it, Santa Cruz, because if you don't, you become complicitors to murder. And that's what Santa Cruz has done in the past. People have died over these winters. People have died over the summers who get drunk, and they got no place to sleep, no place to be, nobody watching them, nobody watching out for them. I know all you social Darwinists who want to run people down the road, send them to Fresno, drive them to Hawaii, tell them to start swimming. You might go for this, but, you know, I think the rest of us don't. And I think that we have to really look at things from a sensible, basically human point of view here. Call me a secular humanist. Hey. So, all this is about a tape that I am trying to get keyed up here, queued up and ready to roll. Actually, I have it ready to roll. In 1988, the situation was worse in certain respects. There wasn't an open-air shelter. There wasn't a free meal. There wasn't an expanded interfaith satellite shelter program. There was the same bunch of liberals on the city council. I mean, there they were. Not exactly the same, but some of them have graduated to higher political office, as these city council members seem to do. John Laird was the mayor. Marty Wormhout was his right-hand woman. There were people like Mike Rotkin. There was Jane Weed. There were goodness, some conservatives, I can't even remember, a fellow named Arnie, a woman named Katie Sears Williams, for all you old-timers. Anyway, homeless people came outside the council chambers and protested by speaking at the mic week after week, and the council responded by doing nothing week after week. And here's a little bit from that era, because what eventually happened was there was real change, and the real change happened, in my mind, largely because of that protest.
And mother and be free and not be persecuted and subjected to the type of treatment that has been going on here in Santa Cruz by the Santa Cruz Police Department and the brown shirts and the sheriff and several other people. And when that doesn't work for them, they go to outside sources.
You're listening to Rocky Stone. Rocky, a rather controversial and colorful figure who at one time put the city council under citizens' arrest, in my mind was something of a wingnut, but he was also a man with a good heart and a strong voice, and he spoke out about real issues, about real people. He was arrested on the open-air shelter property, along with Linda the Lark Edwards, Gray Bear, and myself, Maid Marion Fisher, a whole bunch of activists who've kind of, many of whom have moved on, for sleeping. The Citizens Committee for the Homeless was asked to support that encampment. Their response was to adjourn their meeting for 6 months and not have another one. That was Paige Smith, the revered Paige Smith, who's been so feted recently after his death as a great historian, as a great friend of the homeless. Well, he wasn't a friend of the homeless in this case. He didn't help the homeless. He wanted to proceed with his own agenda for Citizens Committee for the Homeless, the group he was heading. As has been the case with the Citizens Committee for the last few months, and we're hoping to see a change in that. Again, we're returning to the 1988. Believe it, I think you're listening to a July meeting, but it could be later than that. These are speeches at City Council or outside City Council, recorded by a local radio station.
To hire people to actually hurt us. People took our way from our land and land. They shot me up and wounded me. did everything but the wrong thing, because I'm still alive and I'm still a man. And I can still walk. And I'm a proud American Indian.
And that is the voice of Two Feathers, another man who I believe has died since. I'm not sure. He was often drunk, and we were criticized for allowing a man who was drunk to participate in protests. We were told this gave us a bad image, alienated city council members, and made it less likely they'd listen to us. But my view is always that everybody has a right to speak, and if some people are drunk, well, some people are drunk. I don't prefer to have those people speak, but I sure as hell am not going to bar them, and they have their story to tell as well.
Felines for sleep in city Santa Cruz should not be arrested. It's a waste of taxpayers' money and beats up people's heads. It's no good. Everybody knows that. Anyway, the reason I wanted to say here is right now they're going to be discussing a proposal to slightly dilute this current policy. The policy that they're going to recommend is that it be enforced only on complaint. That is, they won't ticket you and your car if anybody here has a car. How many people have cars? Raise your hand. Not too many of us have cars, so it's not really too relevant. But anyway, that's what they're talking about. I'm going to go in there and tell them that this is not enough. And there are a bunch of other speakers that are going to tell them that this is not enough. You should be able to sleep where you want if you're not bothering somebody else. And it doesn't bother anybody else. You're going to be camping on land where you're not in the middle of the street or where you're not a public health hazard. So obviously, the current law is bad. The problem is to get the council to change the current law.
This is, of course, me, Robert Norris, talking to the group of people who are going into city council.
They won't unless enough people demonstrate that they care about it. And that's what you're here, and that's what this is all about. That's what you're here for. Now, I'm going to break off, and I'm going to probably harangue you again later, because right now I'm going to go harangue them for a while.
Those are some of the comments made by homeless rights activists prior to the Tuesday afternoon city council meeting. The council was to consider a recommendation by the city's Human Rights Commission to relax the camping ban. Jane Yokoyama delivered the commission's findings to the council.
Testimony from the public including narrations, incidents, suffered by the homeless, among some examples. A woman with no other resources having to drive around all night for fear of being ticketed for kissing in her car. A homeless family whose car broke down found themselves having to sleep in the car because they had no other shelter, being rudely harassed by local law enforcement officials. The task force was also informed that some local law enforcement officials did not harass nor take the homeless found sleeping in a vehicle. We encouraged them to seek out safer places to sleep in their vehicles or existing resources for shelter. The task force therefore recommends to the council the following. 1. That the city police be directed to limit enforcement of the sleeping and vehicle section of the city's camping ordinance, number 636010, to an enforcement on complaint only basis as long as such a situation does not present a threat to public safety or health. 2. That the special use permit relating to the operation of the River Street shelter be expanded to include its use as a day shelter with the attendant services. 3. That an effort be made to direct the homeless towards existing resources and services.
Now you can hear, this again is a proposal in 1988 by Jane Yokoyama, who is now in alcohol, Hoki Mama, because of her sellout on this issue. She changed her position when she became a council member 3 months later. Two of these proposals were actually somewhat initiated and somewhat completed. There have been, let's say, move in that direction. There is, of course, a homeless community resource center, which is available during the day for many people, run by Karen Gillette. And there's also a possibility of sleeping in church lots, although I don't know how far this has actually gone. The ISSP has gotten some churches to agree to allow you to park their vehicles in their lots, no more than 3 per vehicle, and this was specifically provided for by city council this summer in an exception to 6.36, the camping ban or sleeping ban here in Santa Cruz. The third proposal, which was that people be directed to existing services, was the only thing that this 1988 City Council passed, and what they did was they issued the notorious green cards. And the green cards, I may remind you of perhaps green cards that aliens get here and they have to show that they're striving to get. These are little green notices that say, go to the River Street Shelter. And of course, since there are only 2 beds available at the River Street Shelter then, and then somewhat later 12 beds available total for the hundreds and hundreds of homeless people in the Santa Cruz City area, I estimate 500 to 1,500 as I said before, it was a joke.
It was a joke. And the police would give out these little cards, and they'd give out their camping tickets. So a little bit more from 1988 and the protest then.
But I'd like to go on record as opposing the relaxation of the ban on camping. I'm a resident of the west side of Santa Cruz. I'm already negatively impacted by people camping in the streets, leaving refuse, urinating, excreting. I've had the good fortune to have camped throughout 48 states in the United States and two provinces of Canada. And one thing that each of these areas had in common was they had a shower facility, they had toilet facility, and they had cooking facilities. And lacking any of those facilities on the streets of Santa Cruz, I don't think streets of Santa Cruz offer the proper environment for camping, and we ought to seek some sort of alternative, either in public lands or county lands, to provide these facilities for people if they are homeless. I also make a distinction between people who are homeless and home free, those who choose of their own accord not to conform to society. They want all the protections of society without contributing to society. However, they don't seek a job. And I think they really detract from those who are truly needy and those who need, truly need our services. And I think that needs to be addressed.
Thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
The same kind of arguments are often leveled today, this time by the council members themselves. The idea that sleeping per se should be a crime has to me always been not only repugnant, but a violation of the U.S. Constitution, the U.N. Charter, California Constitution, and common sense. But what happens is when you bring this argument up, they start ranting, the critics, that is, start ranting about urinating in the streets and cooking in the streets. These are legitimately controllable activities. Of course. But the same people who make these kind of criticisms about, oh, we don't want them to camp everywhere and anywhere, they really don't want them to camp anywhere at all. They don't want people to sleep anywhere at all. They want them to leave, and they want them out of town. Because there was no alternate place for people to sleep, and for the majority of people, there still is no place for people to legally be after 11 o'clock at night if they fall asleep. And this is an argument, no matter how many times you present it to someone like incoming Mayor Mike Rotkin, he will turn it around at you and say, oh, then you want people to be able to sleep everywhere. And the dialogue tends to stop right there. Those of you who are continuing this dialogue and who will be presenting it to City Council next November 28th, next Tuesday, will be finding that kind of response, I'm afraid, from the Council, if you find it at all. Again, we continue with a little more from 1988, 7 years ago, when these issues were brought to City Council. Simply, I remind you, not even to get a significant change in the camping ban, not to get the right to sleep everywhere, not even to get the right to sleep anywhere, but the right not to be ticketed unless there is a complaint. That was the only thing that we were seeking. And we were only seeking that for people in cars, mind you. It was the smallest possible concession. This is what happened.
I find it better just to say one thing. I think we're getting lazy as a country. Lazy in the effect that we even put the American flag up today. And these people that we're talking about that are homeless, that came here today are Vietnam veterans that have their legs shut off, or they are Vietnam veterans possibly who may have some psychological problems because of some of the effects of the Vietnam War. There are mothers and children here who are mothers and ex-wives of some ex-Vietnam veteran who's in the grave somewhere, and these are your children. Now, realizing that these people back here are your own flesh and blood, it makes them different than just being the homeless. They are your homeless people. And you have a responsibility to deal with the homeless issue. This isn't a camping issue. When I go camping, I enjoy it. These people don't enjoy what they're doing right now. They're in pain and they're suffering. They're not violent people. Ask Ernie King how violent he was. Just because of the way he looked, some people thought, well, there's a troll that's killing. And these people are getting murdered out there. They sleep in their cars because they're scared for their life. They lock the doors. This isn't a party that they're having here today. They came here to eat because there was no food elsewhere. And that's the only way people like Fred Gray can get them here to speak to you and to show up. They're running in fear. And I'm a homeless too. Thank you.
Please be brief.
Under the RICO Act, we are arresting you.
Sorry. against three people and homeless. We are arresting you under the RICO Act, which is a criminal arrest. On behalf of other people who are interested, this is a citizen's arrest.
And that was Rocky Stone in 1988 making a citizen's arrest to the city council. Being a nonviolent man, in some respects, Rocky did not attempt to lead the council out, take them into custody, and put them in a people's jail. But it did provide a bit of a laugh for the city council, who I believe adjourned the council for a little while to chuckle about that one.
Going to arrest you. We've already talked to him. We have our lawyers here. The RICO Act, we are offering to you on behalf of the citizens of the Santa Cruz area. We are arresting you for giving the go-ahead to have certain law officers harass people, illegally search them, intimidate them, assault them, and threaten them. We are arresting you for behavior against people that you know what you've done, you are doing, going to continue to do. We know so what you've done as well. So either you're going to place yourself voluntarily under arrest here with a lieutenant outside and go to jail pending a proper hearing and everything. That way, or make this condition or whatever, we're going to circle this building and we're going to pray for your soul. So, pray for your children. You might have to go on something. We're going to have all this time. So you're voluntarily go, and you have to circle this.
I'm going to bring the man back to the council for the meeting.
I have a lawyer here. Sir, this is not a joke, sir. Sir, this is not a joke.
I'm not joking.
You're under arrest, sir. You know what I mean? You're under arrest. The people of Mother.
Well, we're either going to get a chance to deliberate on the action you proposed to us, or we're going to recess. And so I'm going to bring it on.
So it doesn't matter what you say.
Actually, given budget hearing tonight, I'd probably rather be there. Instead, I'm either going to be able to bring this back for discussion, or I'm going to recess the council. Okay, then the matter's back to the council for deliberation and action on this subject. Is there any other word of it?
The City Council of the City of Santa Cruz has, through numerous actions, demonstrated our concern for the homeless. We've hardly done enough for the problems we've said over and over again. But the solution for homeless people is not that they live and sleep in their cars. It's not that they be allowed to camp on the streets of Santa Cruz.
That voice is the voice of Councilmember Mike Rotkin, who will be our mayor. He was speaking in 1988 at that council. But he is still on the council. And he will be our mayor on November 28th. He, in essence, recommended, and his recommendation was followed, that the council take no action on this proposal, which was a simple proposal to ticket people in cars only on complaint. That is to say, not have police roaming the hinterlands looking for campers. And Rodkin's reason for doing this was because camping is not a suitable solution. You heard it yourself. He didn't want people camping at all, so he was prepared to keep the police out there arresting people for sleeping in their vehicles. That's our mayor. That's the man coming into power. Ask him if he's changed his mind in the last 7 years. Give a call to 429-3550. That's the City Council 24-hour line, 429-3550. Ask to talk to Michael Rotkin.
Further discussion.
And somehow the police always seem to come up with these dropping figures when such things are required. Similarly, in the question of citizen complaints, you may remember there's been a brouhaha about the fact that suddenly the number of complaints was way down, so why do we need a Citizens Police Review Board at all anyway? Well, I'm going to leave this 1988 period and leave this 1988 council from the summer of 1988 when the city council essentially decided to let the police go right ahead and continue doing what they were doing, and they did, and it was considerably worse than it is now. One hopes that some of these council members, particularly soon-to-be Mayor Mike Rotkin, have changed their minds, but there's no, not only is there no guarantee of it, there's really no indication of it that that's happened. The issue now is the most important and most prominent issue for some of us is this winter campground. This is a crisis for those who need to be able to sleep at night, need to be able to have a place to pitch a tent, and there is this open space purchased with homeless monies in 1987, repurchased by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless in 1991 with a proviso to be used for very low income and homeless use, which is essentially going to be vacant over the winter. The positive side to the current situation is, though it's previously been very negative towards allowing people to stay there past December 3rd, I want you to now listen to Daryl Darling, Community House Director at the Monday Duck Pond meeting, the famous Monday Duck Pond meeting, talking to the SOS, Save Our Shelter Committee, the group of campers who want to continue to stay at the campground, essentially by raising the money to do the trash pickups, to do the porta-potty dumpings, to do whatever is needed to keep the place clean and neat and well-run. And they want to staff it themselves, have volunteer staff, and help to make sure that the place remains safe and usable throughout the winter. And this is Daryl Darling's response, which Daryl is a man who takes 100 words to say something that I would say put in 50 and you might put in 10. But here's what he was saying.
The request, and I have to take CCH has to take to some degree, make a judgment call on who is speaking for the majority of homeless people who are on presently at 111 Coral Street. Assuming that there is a significant number of people who do want to remain in that location through the wintertime, we are proceeding on schedule to have the armory and the churches open. The churches open early in the year. They're already open, but the armory open December 3rd. We're working with the city and others to see what resources we can come up with, and if anyone is to be on the property after December 3, liability, good judgment, and common sense requires that they be in some way staffed, that there be some responsibility that CCH and or the city and or the homeless shelter would take for monitoring and providing some kind of supervision. So if that can all be worked out financially and in terms of personnel, then I think that that we're in a position to take, I don't want to make promises that I can't make good on, and I don't like to be put in a position of having.
Interrupting Daryl's statement, but notice that he seemed like he was about to say that we are in a position to maybe do it or talk about doing it, and then and he sort of wanted to qualify that with because he didn't want to make promises he couldn't keep and so forth. So again, you hear this sort of wavering response, which it's hard for me to get a clear beat on it, but it certainly is more positive than what the Citizens Committee for the Homeless had been saying for the last 2 months, and what Daryl, as the head of Community House, the Trailers Not Trolls project, as I call it, up to now, as I have been calling it up to now, had said before. Again, we continue with Daryl Darling's statement to the campers, to the community, and to the negotiators at the Duck Pond Monday meeting, which, by the way, a fourth such meeting will happen next Monday. I believe it's going to happen at 2 at the Duck Pond for those of you who wish to attend.
Anyone assume that I'm either stonewalling on one side or on the other hand that I'm making representations that I can't make good on. So I'm giving you the best information that I can, given all the variables, and on some authority, but not final authority. And that is that we will take seriously, we have taken seriously, and continue to take seriously, the possibility of having open-air shelter, along with all of our other programs that we have consistently had over the years and will have in full measure this year, beyond December 3. But
that is the statement that everyone is so optimistic about, myself included. He is going to take seriously the possibility of open shelter on the site after December 3rd. That is a real change in position, no question about it. Now, some members of the SOS committee have felt that this is the grounds that we should sort of abandon all attempts at protest, fling ourselves into the arms of the Citizens Committee and essentially pop the champagne bottles. Well, I don't believe that's a good thing to do right away. I think we have to very carefully investigate just how serious he is. And I think that you have to understand he reached this position because we didn't spend our time trying to kiss their ass. What we did do was we brought the issue to the community and we aired the issues and we expressed our anger and our outrage that the Citizens Committee was preparing to send 50 to 75 people down the road for the winter and then another 200 down the road next spring. And I think that position is still a good one. It's quite appropriate we be angry about this. It's quite appropriate that we bring it to the attention of the community, and we did, and we have. Now the Citizens Committee wishes to negotiate seriously on these issues. The Citizens Committee is really preparing to keep that area open in the winter. Well, my hat's off to them, and I commend them, and that's great. I just want to make sure that we are not, we get a clear statement from them one way or another. That's what I'm looking for, and I think that I'm hopeful that the December 3rd rally that I'm asking people to come to at River and Josephine at 1 o'clock on December 3rd, the Food Not Bombs meal, is a victory celebration, which we, Citizens Committee, City Council, everyone joins in a toast to the maintenance of open-air shelter in the winter, self-managed, self-run, essentially generated by the activities of people out of the campground, like Rolling Thunder Mike, like Ankle Deep Ann, like Squirrel, like there are whole bunches of people, Sticks, Steve, hey, I'm going to...